April 17th. Our reading in the Old Testament comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 13, verse 1, through chapter 14, verse 15. Here's a brief overview and commentary of what we'll be reading about today in Scripture. Joshua was getting old. He was between 85 and 100 years of age at this time. God, however, still had work for him to do. You know, our culture often glorifies the young and strong and sets aside those who are older. Yet older people are filled with the wisdom that comes with experience. They are very capable of serving if given the chance and should be encouraged to do so. Believers are never allowed to retire from God's service. Those past retirement age should not assume that age disqualifies or excuses them from serving God. Much of the land was unconquered at this point, but God's plan was to go ahead and include it in the divisions among the tribes. God's desire here was that it would eventually be conquered by the Israelites. God knows the future, and as he leads you, he already knows about the victories that lie ahead. But just as the Israelites still had to go to battle and fight, we must still face the trials and fight the battles of our unconquered land, so to speak. So what are your unconquered lands? They may be overseas missionary territories, new languages in which to translate the Bible, new missionary areas in our neighborhoods, interest groups or institutions that need redemptive work, unchallenged public problems or ethical issues, unconfessed sin in our lives, or underdeveloped talents and resources. What territory has God given you to conquer? This territory is your promised land. Our inheritance will be a new heaven and a new earth if we fulfill the mission God has given us to do. Now, one reason the Israelites encountered so many problems as they settled the land was that they failed to fully conquer the land and drive out all its inhabitants. The cancer-like presence of the remaining pagan peoples of Canaan caused unending difficulties for the Israelites, as the book of Judges records. Just as they failed to remove completely the sin from the land, believers today often fail to remove completely the sin from their lives, also with disastrous results. As a self-test, reread the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. Ask yourself, am I tolerating sinful practices or thoughts? Have I accepted half measures as good enough? Do I condemn the faults of others but condone my own? Now, because of Joseph's godly character, back in Genesis 49, the tribes descended from him, Ephraim and Manasseh, were given the richest, most fertile land in all of Canaan. Now, Judah, who offered himself in exchange for his brother Benjamin's safety, received the largest portion of land, which eventually became the southern kingdom and the seat of David's dynasty. Reuben, who slept with one of his father's wives, was given desert land, the region described here in Scripture we'll be reading about. The blessings Jacob gave to his sons, according to their character, seem also to be reflected in the characteristics of the land each tribe later received. And with that, let's begin our reading today, here in the Old Testament. April 17th, the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 15, verses 1 through 63. The allotment for the clans of the tribe of Judah reached southward to the border of Edom, as far south as the wilderness of Zin. The southern boundary began at the south bay of the Dead Sea, ran south of Scorpion Pass into the wilderness of Zin, and then went south of Kadesh Barnea to Hezron. Then it went up to Adar, where it turned toward Karka. From there it passed to Asmon until it finally reached the Brook of Egypt, which it followed to the Mediterranean Sea. This was their southern boundary. The eastern boundary extended along the Dead Sea to the mouth of the Jordan River. The northern boundary began at the bay, where the Jordan River empties into the Dead Sea, went up from there to Beth Hogla, then proceeded north of Beth Araba to the stone of Bohan. Bohan was Reuben's son. From that point, it went through the valley of Achor to Debir, turning north toward Gilgal, which is across from the slopes of Adumim on the south side of the valley. From there, the boundary extended to the springs of En-Shemesh and on to En-Rogel. The boundary then passed through the valley of Ben-Hinnom, along the southern slopes of the Jebusites, where the city of Jerusalem is located. Then it went west to the top of the mountain above the valley of Hinnom. and on up to the northern end of the Valley of Rephaim. From there, the boundary extended from the top of the mountain to the spring at the waters of Niphtoah, and from there to the towns on Mount Ephron. Then it turned toward Baalah, that is, Kiriath-Jearim. The boundary circled west of Baalah to Mount Seir, passed along to the town of Kezalon on the northern slope of Mount Jearim, and went down to Beth Shemesh and on to Timnah. The boundary then proceeded to the slope of the hill north of Ekron, where it turned toward Shikaron and Mount Baalah. It passed Jabneel and ended at the Mediterranean Sea. The western boundary was the shoreline of the Mediterranean Sea. These are the boundaries for the clans of the tribe of Judah. The Lord commanded Joshua to assign some of Judah's territory to Caleb, son of Jephunneh. So Caleb was given the town of Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, which had been named after Enoch's ancestor. Caleb drove out the three groups of Anakites, the descendants of Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the sons of Anak. From there, he went to fight against the people living in the town of Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. Caleb said, "I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the one who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer." Othniel, the son of Caleb's brother Kenaz, was the one who captured it. So Aksa became Othniel's wife. When Aksa married Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. As she got down off her donkey, Caleb asked her, "What's the matter?" She said, "Give me another gift. You have already given me land in the Negev. Now please give me springs of water too." So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. This was the homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Judah. The towns of Judah, situated along the borders of Edom in the extreme south, were Kabzeel, Eder, Jager, Kina, Dimona, Adada, Kedesh, Hazor, Ithnan, Ziph, Telem, Beoloth, Hazor Adata, Kiriath Hezron, that is Hazor, Amam, Shema, Molada, Hazar Gada, Heshmon, Beth Pilet, Hazar Shul, Beersheba, Bizayothiah, Baalah, Aim, Ezam, El Tolad, Kizel, Horma, Ziklag, Madmana, Sansana, Liboath, Shilim, Ain, and Rimon. 29 towns with their surrounding villages. The following towns, situated in the western foothills, were also given to Judah: Eshtaol, Zora, Ashna, Zenoa, En Ganim, Tapua, Enam, Jarmuth, Adullam, Soka, Azekah, Shearaim, Adithaim, Gidera, and Giderothaim. 14 towns with their surrounding villages. Also included were Zinan, Hadashah, Migdal-Gad, Dilean, Mizpah, Jokthiel, Lachish, Bozkath, Eglon, Kebon, Lamam, Kitlish, Gideroth, Beth-Dagon, Naamah, and Makeda. 16 towns with their surrounding villages. Besides these, there were Libna, Ether, Ashan, Iphtah, Ashna, Nezeb, Keilah, Akzib, and Marasha, 9 towns with their surrounding villages. The territory of the tribe of Judah also included Ekron and its surrounding settlements and villages. From Ekron, the boundary extended west and included the towns near Ashdod with their surrounding villages. It also included Ashdod with its surrounding settlements and villages, and Gaza with its settlements and villages, as far as the Brook of Egypt and along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Judah also received the following towns in the hill country: Shamir, Jatir, Soka, Dana, Kiriath Sana, that is Debir, Enab, Eshtama, Anim, Goshen, Holon, and Gilo. 11 towns with their surrounding villages. Also included were the towns of Arab, Duma, Ishan, Janim, Beth Tapua, Afika, Humta, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, and Zior, 9 towns with their surrounding villages. Besides these, there were Maon, Carmel, Ziph, Juta, Jezreel, Jokdeim, Zenoah, Cain, Gibeah, and Timnah, 10 towns with their surrounding villages. In addition, there were Hahul, Beth-Zur, Gedor, Maharath, Beth-Anath, and El-Takan, 6 towns with their surrounding villages. There were also Kiriath-Baal, that is Kiriath-Jearim, and Rabbah, the towns with their surrounding villages. In the wilderness, there were the towns of Beth-Araba, Niden, Sikaka, Nibshan, the city of salt, and En-Gedi, 6 towns with their surrounding villages. But the tribe of Judah could not drive out the Jebusites, who lived in the city of Jerusalem. So the Jebusites live there among the people of Judah to this day. And now it's time for our reading in the New Testament. And our scripture today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 17. Here's a brief overview. To persist in prayer and not give up does not mean endless repetition or painfully long prayer sessions. Constant prayer means keeping our requests continually before God as we live for Him day by day, believing He will answer. When we live by faith, we are not to give up. God may delay answering, but His delays always have good reasons. As we persist in prayer, we grow in character, faith, and hope. Widows and orphans were among the most vulnerable of all God's people, and both Old Testament prophets and New Testament apostles insisted that these needy people be properly cared for. If godless judges respond to constant pressure, as we'll read about here in Scripture today, how much more will a great and loving God respond to us? If we know He loves us, we can believe He will hear our cries for help. Now, the people who lived near Jerusalem often would go to the temple to pray. The temple was the center of their worship, and we'll read about that today. The Pharisee did not go to the temple to pray to God, but to announce to all with an earshot how good He was. The tax collector went recognizing his sin and begging for mercy. Self-righteousness is dangerous. It leads to pride, causes a person to despise others, and prevents him or her from learning anything from God. The tax collector's prayer should be our prayer, because we all need God's mercy every day. Hey, don't let pride in your achievements cut you off from God. Now, it was customary for a mother to bring her children to a rabbi for a blessing. And that is why these mothers gathered around Jesus. The disciples, however, thought the children were unworthy of the master's time, less important than whatever else he was doing. But Jesus welcomed them because little children have the kind of faith and trust needed to enter God's kingdom. It's important that we introduce our children to Jesus. And now let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. April 17th, the New Testament, Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 43. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother." The man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." When Jesus heard his answer, he said, "There is still one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw this, he said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God! In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this said, "Then who in the world can be saved?" He replied, "What is impossible for people is possible with God." Peter said, "We've left our homes to follow you." "Yes," Jesus replied, "and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will be repaid many times over in this life and will have eternal life in the world to come." Taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus said, "Listen, we're going up to Jerusalem, where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to the Romans, and he will be mocked, treated shamefully, and spit upon. They will flog him with a whip and kill him. But on the third day he will rise again. But they didn't understand any of this. The significance of his words was hidden from them, and they failed to grasp what he was talking about. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" "Be quiet," the people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," he said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "All right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God, and all who saw it praised God too. Psalm 85, verses 1 through 13. As we read in the Psalms today, we'll see that the writer was asking God to revive his people, bringing them back to spiritual life. You know, God is capable of reviving both churches and individuals. He can pour out his love on us, renewing our love for him. If you need revival in your church, family, or personal spiritual life, well, ask God to give you a fresh touch of his love. These five verses that we'll read, chapter 85, verses 9 through 13, describe what God can do for those who welcome his herald, righteousness. And this psalm illustrates that the greater the presence of righteousness, that is, obedience to God, the clearer the examples of God's blessings. And this principle works equally in the life of a nation or an individual. The more we first seek God's righteousness and his kingdom, as Jesus pointed out, the more we will see everything else taken care of by God. Psalm 86, verses 1 through 17. A prayer of David. Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I need your help. Protect me, for I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and trust you. You are my God. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I'm calling on you constantly. Give me happiness, O Lord, for I give myself to you. O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. Listen closely to my prayer, O Lord. Hear my urgent cry. I will call to you whenever I'm in trouble, and you will answer me. No pagan god is like you, O Lord. None can do what you do. All the nations you made will come and bow before you, Lord. They will praise your holy name, for you are great and perform wonderful deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart, so that I may honor you. With all my heart I will praise you, O Lord my God. I will give glory to your name forever, for your love for me is very great. You have rescued me from the depths of death. O God, insolent people rise up against me. A violent gang is trying to kill me. You mean nothing to them, but you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Look down and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant. Save me, the son of your servant. Send me a sign of your favor. Then those who hate me will be put to shame. For you, O Lord, help and comfort me. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. The life of the godly is full of light and joy, but the light of the wicked will be snuffed out. Pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise.